Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Classic Pinball Podcast. My name is George, and I'm joined by my co-host today, Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, George.
Dave, it feels like such a long time since we last spoke, but believe it or not, we did do our last two shows 3 weeks ago, but before that, it was the day after Christmas. I feel like I've been holding back not calling you because I wanted to try to keep our podcast fresh. So my apologies. I mean, it's been a busy January, and I can't believe here we are already a third of the way through February, and we're having a phone conversation. So sorry about that. But I wanted people to know that this podcast is unscripted. We don't, you know, this is us. And Dave is concerned that, you know, he's going to make some errors moving forward through the show. And it's like, hey, don't care. Haters are going to hate. We're going to continue to do the podcast. If he's in error, he's in error. He's trying as hardest as I do. So with that said, I've got a list of topics that I'm going to present to you. And I would like you to pick one. And then we're going to go through all the rest. How's that sound?
Go on. Sounds good.
Okay. So here's your choices. One word. Clean. Eric. Tommy. Indisc. NBC. Chronicle. Podcasts. Playfields. Retheme.
Let's go with NBC.
Well, why don't you tell me a little bit about your most recent encounter with television station NBC, and is it NECN?
Yes, NECN and NBC Boston. They also reached out to me like Channel 5 Boston Chronicle did, and they wanted to interview me. Went really well. Young lady came over with a crew, and got another unique perspective. They kind of covered things that the Chronicle one didn't. Very little overlap. And this time, my wife Maureen, who's also my business partner, she was interviewed as well. She came off great. In fact, I almost got a little misty-eyed when she was like saying stuff. It was very heartfelt. Very nice what she was saying.
Well, hopefully they captured that and we can see it on screen. You also, I think, said that you played with PJ.
With him. Yeah, because he actually has Monday off, so that worked out well, and had him over, and in the afternoon. And they captured us, playing a game together, just like we did, years ago as teenagers or even preteens at Fun and Games. So it was very Fun and Games centric again. They wanted us to play us, any game we wanted, we were going to record us playing. And they wanted us to say, well, give each other some crap, to trash talk each other. I go, we don't trash talk. it would be forced, So instead of that, it's like, we're going to do it our way. So we just encourage each other. And I would say, oh, nice shot, PJ. It's like, oh, that was a great save, back and forth. PJ is very animated. He spins around when he loses the ball. I do a lot of, dancing around too when I'm getting into the game. So that was fun. They had us pick any game we wanted upstairs. So I said, well, it's either Fathom or Xenon. I kind of really wanted Xenon because Xenon, that.
I think that might have been a little extreme for television. I think Fathom might have been a better choice.
You think so? All right. Well,
if they capture the sounds, but I guess my question to you is, now that you've seen it happen once, what do you think their
It's Katy Perry.
Hang on one sec. I gotta throw this on hold. I'm in the middle of something. What's going on?
You tell me.
Yeah. No. I'm not talking to you, Dave. Hang on. Yes. Everything's still on. Can I call you back in a little bit? Bye. That's my sister, dummy. Relax.
No, that was Arnie. That was Arnie saying that.
I was half listening. Anyway, now where was I? We were talking about so you've seen how it's been recorded once. What do you think the theme this time will be? Because if you did choose Xenon, I didn't even give you a chance. If you did choose Xenon, you know they're going to talk over it. They're not going to allow those sounds on TV. And if they do, that will make for some interesting TV.
That didn't even enter my mind at all. I the only reason why I want to choose Xenon, because that Xenon back glass picture of the woman there, the bald-headed woman, that was the mascot for Fun and Games. So I thought it'd be a good tie-in to have PJ and I play the Fun and Games game.
And is that the game you played?
No. I was bringing my hands back and forth, but because Fathom is more of a game that's really fun to watch people play, you know, people play it. It's more entertaining. So I was going for, well, Fun and Games theme or really fun to watch. So I decided to go, well, I'm gonna go fun to watch. And I said, I talked to the camera, and it's like, so you're gonna show the whole game. You're gonna show the other round while you're shooting us, other games can be seen. Can you see Xenon next to us? Oh yeah, I can see that too next to you. Say, okay, at least it's in the shot. So that's good. So you
were a little bit better educated this time around as to what to expect.
Yes. Okay. And I pre-quizzed her on different things, like, you know, where she was going with this and what she's looking for and that kind of thing. So it was kind of good going in. But I'll tell you what she did versus what Raman did. Raman had, he did a lot of studying, you know, maybe she did too, but I just know he told me this, that he studied my website. He had questions prepared. He had a whole list of things to go down and ask questions. And, you know, it was, you know, like that. She was more off the cuff. She had it all in her head and she would ask questions. And it came off well, but it was like a whole different way of doing it.
Okay, different strokes, different folks.
Yeah, so we were downstairs for the first part. I said, "Where do you want to shoot?" So like, let's. So I showed them, you know,
Warehouse Central.
Yeah, well, again, I had to basically lose about, I don't know, 16 games or so, get them out of the basement because I need to make.
You didn't do that again.
Yes, I did.
You're a crazy man.
You got to keep up appearances. So, those went outside for an afternoon. It was okay. It was a mild day. It wasn't that bad. Under a tarp and so forth. So we're all protected. But, you know, see, they love the tech area. You know, I had that all good to go and neatened up. And I had everything all set up. And they had me do some live repairs of stuff. So that was good. And then I said, oh, there's another area back here. Oh, let's see the other area. So I showed them that. Oh, this is great. They love the Christmas lights in the top. They love the, you know, the feel of a classic Central back there, and usually Chime Central before, but now it's Stern Central, a classic Stern Central back there. Three games I have back there. So they love that. But the three games are Flight 2000, Stargazer, and what's the other one back there? Oh, boy. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. It's Kisses back there.
Still Kiss.
Yeah, I want to try to sell that, so that's why that's up. So they were having, well, what do you – you want to play a game versus and show us what's going on? And it's like, they were saying, well, how about Kiss? I go, nah, Kiss is the sound package isn't really there. Let's play Stargazer. So I played Stargazer for them. They're recording me playing Stargazer. That was great. They had me do, you know, touch all the targets so I make the sound. So they got to see all the cool sounds that Stargazer makes. So hopefully that's going to come out really well. Cause that game is very unique like that.
Well, and
backs out the count.
Every time you talk about this, we get so many hits on our back catalog. Anytime we mention any of our other games that we've done, and we haven't done enough, and that's another conversation, not for today.
Yeah, we get.
Anyway, our back catalog keeps getting hit, and that's a really good thing.
One more thing. See, I'm not aware, you know, they said, oh, well, you know, the boobies on the Stargazer girl, right? You know, very voluptuous. They kind of, you know, sitting out there, nice rack kind of thing. But, you know, it's not pornographic. It's art, you know, it's you know, so they were kind of a little concerned about it. Like, well, I think we'll get away with it. You know, they maybe still trying to hide that on the show, but they were slightly concerned about it, you know, in a funny way. Then I said, guys, this stuff is so mild compared to what everybody's watching today. Are you kidding me? It's way worse today with the crap that's out there.
Yeah, it's the world we live in. I want to talk quickly about Chronicle. I thought it came off very well.
Yes, very, very pleased with that. That was great.
I have friends who saw it, and we have to say kudos to my wife. Her phone blew up afterwards and during. People, wow. her family in the Boston area must love this show because every single damn one of them, and there's a tribe of them, called up. Then she posted it out on Facebook, and she had, what did she tell me? Over 200 people watched it, and I don't know, she got 60 or 70 likes, something along wow. those lines.
So, awesome.
So she really did a nice job on that for us. Anything quickly you want to say about Chronicle? You know, thank Ramen, obviously, did a nice job. Other than that, it was a lot of comments from people who aren't into pinball, which I thought was pretty good.
I think Ramen did a great, you know, he's a producer of the Chronicle show. He did a great job producing, great job how he edited it together. It was really well done. The music he chose, like he went to Fathom, he kind of had this foreboding music for Fathom when it's talking about, you know, it shows a murder happening. So he did a really nice job of all that that background stuff and putting it together. Oh, and by the way, number one fan just texted in Bruce saying, hey, great job last episode, guys. So very timely. He's texting me right now as we're recording.
Well, let him know. He must have sensed we're recording.
Death dive. Fathom. The trap is set.
Do you remember after I came back from California, you and I had this conversation, and it wasn't on any podcast. So if it was, my apologies, but I don't think so. And I told you flying home, I thought I got sick again and, you know, the whole throat thing. And yeah. Lo and behold, a couple days later, this whole virus thing starts up.
Oh.
And it kind of got me to thinking about a couple of cleanliness issues around pinball. Now, again, haters gonna hate. Yeah, I saw the post this week on Pinside. You know, yada yada yada. People were making fun, but it's not so funny. I was recalling this person out at Indisc using a Pittsburgh Steelers terrible towel. It's kind of hard if you're a football fan not to remember that. Wiping every game he went to for the flipper buttons.
I don't blame him at all. Don't blame him at all.
And then putting it back in his pocket.
When it comes to clean, there's only one mister.
That's, you're right. Exactly. Let me move forward. So I'm listening to a podcast this week, and they're signing off. Bill Webb is one of the co-hosts of Special When Lit. Now, he's got something that's pretty smart. He puts cinnamon soap in his bathroom near his playroom, you know, where all his pinballs are. Genius. He said, if somebody doesn't come out of the bathroom smelling like cinnamon, you know they didn't wash their hands.
Oh, I like it.
So shout out to Bill Webb. That's a great idea. But I saw one other thing on Twitch. It must have been during a tournament. I don't remember who, where, or why, but it must have been. The guy must not have known he was going to be on TV or on Twitch. I saw him physically take his hand, and you know the right to left with the fingers, right?
Yes.
And then Not, no, he did not rub it on his shirt or on his pants leg. He went direct to the machine.
Mm.
Right.
Well, you know what? I've known some of my past that some people don't really think the right way, if you know what I'm saying. So one guy I knew a little while ago anyway, he would go into the men's room, you know, he's going to do his business, but he would wash his hands first, then do his business, and then come out and not wash his hands afterwards.
Oh, I said, stop.
Why do you do it? Well, that way it's clean. I'm touching. It's like, no, you're not. You just touched your stuff, and now you're going to shake hands with people? And he kind of looked at me kind of like, oh, yeah.
I knew we had talked about it. I was blaming the airline and the airplane. And actually, if you look at studies, yeah, you can, but it's a low likelihood. It's a lot of other stuff. So again, I don't want to go off on the whole clean freak thing, but it kind of made me pause after I was at Indisc for 3 days playing machines and not really minding it. I'm going to look at things a little bit differently when I'm in a public place now, I guess is the end of the story.
Well, I'll tell you, at Sarah's Arcade, pinball was an arcade years back. It was known in the pinball community going up there, especially in the wintertime, that you're going to get the funk. You're very careful touching all the games there. All the kids are in there, that kind of thing. And you come out of there, you got to Purell up or something, you know, because you're going to get a problem. You're going to get a cold. You're going to get something going on. So she even put a Purell station or a couple of them after a while, put them out there in the on the floor.
Correct. You don't want to be known for that. So we're going to go to another one. One of the topics was Eric.
One thing, George, your phone keeps dinging. And your dinging is coming on the broadcast.
Yeah, that's you.
Oh, it's me?
when you don't answer, it dings a second time, and somebody else, if it's a number one fan.
Oh, whoever. It's Bruce. Okay.
Anyway, Eric, you did a great job with the broadcast, talking to Eric. And I don't know if you've looked at the latest ratings for IFPA, but he moved up considerably.
What's he at, 3 now?
Yes.
Beautiful. That's where he should be. He should be 1, but 3 is good for now.
So Raymond Davidson is number 1. And the youngster from Germany, Johannes, I always call him Oscar Mayer, but it's Ostermeyer. 1, 2, and 3. So, congrats out to Eric. I'm hoping to get down there. We'll see. Time will tell. Going into, I'm guessing, the Worlds, unless he plays before that. He shouldn't. Going into the Worlds at number 3.
That's awesome. He's got Logos Filled Pinball working out for him pretty well.
Nicely done. He's done a great job. Here we go. Another topic. Tommy, I thought you were a good storyteller. He a storyteller as well. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he's spun a great pinball yarn about his experience and so forth. Very entertaining. It's great having him on, you know.
I thought it was interesting where he came back to me and said, hey, what'd you do with that, Lady Death piece? I said, it just kind of sat by itself, so I figured I'd carve it off until I could, get everything right. Edited from Fathom. So, and then, for him to say nice things on their podcast this past week and
very point nice.
To that made me feel like, wow, that's the nicest thing anybody ever said about us that has another podcast. I mean,
it's almost like, when I listen to their podcast, it's almost like they're a little bit outsiders as well. They're not quite in the click, kind of like we are. And I felt that way too, because they're kind of, I don't know about not really ignored, but by the ones that get the golden boys out there. You know what I mean? They get the
right.
There's
some people who have some, they're I look at them more professionally than I do us. And I kind of understood where they were coming from. I didn't get your reference, but I'm not a Star Trek guy. We seem to be on the outside rather than the inside of the circle.
Well, the reference with that, if people know it is, I said the new, you know, what's it called, TPN, the network, podcast network, Pinball Podcast Network. It's kind of like, it looks kind of like the Borg to me. You will be assimilated. You know, your uniqueness will be part of our own. That's what the Borg would say. And I don't know, I like our uniqueness and we want to do our own thing. And I don't know, I don't want to be held to anybody else's standards. We like our standards.
I definitely agree with that. So again, thanks to Tommy and Taylor, for mentions and steering people our way and making us feel a little bit more included.
Yeah.
You have something else? I'm sorry.
No, that's it. No, I said I agree. Agreed.
So I wanted to talk about my experience at Indisc, and I'll make it brief because it doesn't deserve anywhere near the amount of time that you spent with Eric. But I did enter the big tournament. I played 5 games. The best game I played, I think I already told you this, was Alice Cooper's Nightmare Castle. Out of 300 and some odd people, I was the 36th best on that game, which just blew me away. But
pretty good.
Right. I don't know why, and I don't care. You know, I'll wear that as a badge of honor for playing in the tournament. But it was all downhill after that. I played a game called Starlight, and I went to look it up, and I don't remember it, but not so good on that. 222. Meteor. Oh, did I get roasted. Here I'm thinking, classic game, step up, and just got murdered. 312. So I must have been at the bottom of the barrel on that one. Viking, I think we spoke about that in our telephone call. About the outlanes, without being able to use that, what would you refer to those outlanes as? Bumpers or bounce backs?
They're bumpers that bump the ball back into the flip.
Right, back out into the lane. Those did not work. You know, they did that on purpose.
Well, I'll tell you. Viking is way too easy with that in play. Way Centaur is hard. They made it harder. They learned from Viking being too easy how it bounces right back in. It was way too easy.
I didn't do well. 245. And then there was Indy 500, which I had done very well in Texas, but going to Indisc, a whole nother game, 201. So my final tally was I came in 263rd out of 314 people. Not a great showing, but considering the talent that was out in California, I feel pretty good about it.
Nice.
So, you know, I'm listening to different podcasts on different days, and one of the podcasts starts talking about classic Sterns. Now, you and I don't have a monopoly on talking about older games, but we're known for that. These two are not.
Oh.
And they started going down the road of George, which we did, I don't know how many episodes ago, ranting and raving about why can't you make the classic Sterns the classic way, just like they were made back in the 70s. They were holding that torch. So, hey, that's great. But we kind of covered that a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they were talking about George Gomez. And they were saying, well, George, you know, really is striving to try to drive the game price down to $4,000. Well, there's another George, and that's me. And I kind of said that a long time ago. So call out on that. Comments, questions?
Yeah, well, is it a coinky dink or... I don't know.
I don't know. It's whatever it is. It just was weird hearing it. It's like, I already talked about that, but okay. It makes me wonder at times. How's that?
Well, I'm thinking maybe some people use our podcast for, I don't know, ideas for talking points in their podcast.
Oh, I thought you were going to say toilet paper, but there is no,
there's no toilet paper. We're better than toilet paper, George. Come on.
Okay. Play fields. Have you seen the video of Haggis Pinball or Haggis?
No.
You need to go see this. They're an Australian company that's manufacturing a game called Celts.
Okay.
Basically, it's a Scottish games, which I know they hold one here in New Hampshire in the fall. You know, they do all the, you know, throwing the log and throwing the stone or whatever else. I don't know a lot about it. But anyway, the game is formulated around that. These guys came up with an indestructible, or a play field that will take the hammer test. And again, we talked about this with Tommy, I guess, last week. These guys took a sledgehammer to their play field and there wasn't a mark on it.
Go on.
Plywood graphics, 4 millimeters of acrylic on top. Sound familiar? Electra, maybe?
Yeah.
Sort of, right?
Uh-huh.
So, it sounds like a hybrid hard top. If you think about what I just said, plywood on the bottom, some kind of graphics in between, however that is done.
Yep.
And then they bond the acrylic to the plywood and graphics.
Wow. Sounds cutting edge. Sounds like maybe Stern Manufacturer and Jersey Jack, maybe they'll adopt this if it's that good.
I'm listening to another podcast before we got on, and this person basically said, that's the direction this company should take. Get out of the pinball business and get into the playfield business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like, but it sounded a lot like Electra, you know, where they put that acrylic over the playfield, correct? You would know, I don't own one.
Yeah. I remember
it was over the whole playfield, correct?
It was. And I'd say it kind of, I remember it being scratched up, though. It would get scratched up pretty good, that Electra.
Right, but that was 40 years ago, and chemistry has come a long way. How's that?
Right. And I know playfield protectors are big right now, and they work really well. I actually installed my first one on my pinball pool, and now I just got a whole bunch more of them doing other games. In fact, now with my customers, if they want to, you know, get a poor man's clear coat after do a touch up, I recommend, you know, me doing that to their game going forward. So I can talk about that later on, but it's picking up steam because it's actually a cheap way to get like a clear coat, and it takes care of all those sunken inserts and protecting your touch ups, and it's, you know, and you can play a game right away instead of setting off to get a clear coat. You know, you can play it. It's nice.
I'm looking at it from a business perspective and saying to myself, if you look at the games that we collect, they wanted them to wear out. And I'm going to bring this up in the next subject, but just hear me out. So they wanted the games to wear out. So they didn't put a lot of effort into trying to preserve the artwork. Now, fast forward into the 2000s, and you've got companies like Stern out there. Well, they've got all these issues with playfields, and it's not just Stern. It's Jersey Jack and others. How much money does that cost them in serviceability, whether you've got somebody on the telephone or somebody from the hierarchy of the company? Wouldn't that be something you'd want to try to eliminate or try to at least reduce, so you're not incurring those costs? So the philosophy, I guess, of play fields has changed quite a bit in 40 years. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it has. Because years ago, you know, they'd make a game to last, you know, 2-3 years, and they'd hope they would just toss it. And a lot of arcades did just toss them right in the dumpster. They didn't want
I believe you told a story about that.
Yep. So, yeah, so what do they care if the play field gets trashed up pretty quick, you know? Like, but now it seems like durability is an issue, and people want to – I think manufacturers know now there's a collector community out there that wants to keep these things going. And it's a kind of a hard line for them to walk because they want to keep selling new games. And I think they fear that people, you know, if I have, you know, a house full of games, I don't have room to buy the next new game. And so I probably won't buy the next new game unless I'm a flipper and like to get rid of one and I'm, you know, after playing it 6 months, sell it off kind of thing. So, you know, they're probably trying to weigh that out, I would think, on how to go forward.
Right. But if you, you know, you've been following along, whether it's through me or, you know, your interest in pin side, but you've seen that this has become an issue, and it kind of dovetails into the next subject, which is the retheme. And I'm looking on pin side this past week, and there was an ad for a game called Professional Pinball. Have you ever heard of this?
Never heard of that one.
Well, it goes in line with the Lady Death and our friend Tommy Skinner. This was a company out of Toronto, Canada, and they rethemed 5 different games, if I recall correctly. 8-Ball, Evel Knievel, Power Play, Strikes and Spares, and Star Trek.
That sounds interesting.
Well, here's the weird part about it. All the games looked exactly the same graphics. It was a picture on the back glass of 2 women with a guy in the middle with no face and a mirror. And then all the graphics were kind of similar color scheme and artwork on play fields. And I forget what they did with the side art, but that doesn't really matter. And these were retheme kits for some kind of professional pinball league back in 1981. And in the brochure, I'll ask you to go look at it after we're off the air, you could win $250,000. I'd love to talk to somebody who knows a little bit more about this because I had never seen or heard of this before. Obviously, you either.
I never heard of it, no. Mm-mm.
So, kind of weird that you would take all those games, and it fits in with kind of the theme of operators and manufacturers looking for the planned obsolescence of pinball games. They either didn't want them to resell or they wanted them just to wear out. So, you know, you'd go out and buy something else. And I think it also goes in line with kind of what you were saying earlier. Everybody who's a collector has a space problem. I don't care who you are. You don't have enough room.
Yep, room is a problem. It's this friend of mine and now brother-in-law. He's always said, you know, why couldn't I just collect stamps instead of pinball machines?
Because it's not as much fun.
Good answer.
One thing I forgot. I want to circle back for a second. I've got a list of 18 games that I played at Indisc, and I want to just run them by you. If I didn't take pictures of them, I wouldn't remember, so got the old camera out. As I told you earlier in one of the other podcasts, that they had over 400 machines there. So here are some of the games that I played. You can comment accordingly. Beat the Clock.
Never played it, looked at it. Didn't do much for me. Is that 1984, 85 Bally?
Yeah, it's a Bally Midway. We'll move forward. How about baseball theme Grand Slam?
That's a Bally. From that bad era of pin from Bally, 80, the dark ages, with the flyaway targets in the middle, kind of like Speakeasy.
Correct. I had to play it.
Yawn Fest or what? Exactly.
Move forward. Played William's Comet, which I played because of Eric, and that's an interesting game.
Yeah, it didn't do anything for me. I played a little bit of that, but it's the music is very irritating.
Well, he had the earworm. So, how about Voltan?
Voltan Escapes Cosmic Doom, kind of a rare belly. Really not much going on in the game. Dave Christensen artwork. Great looking back glass, but not a lot going on in that game.
Not a bad game, but I wouldn't chase it for the money.
No.
How about, do you own one of these? Did Stern make a game called Magic?
Yes, I owned one of those. Very pretty game, but a yawn fest. Nothing really going on in that game for me.
Only played it because it was a Stern, and a lot of the Sterns were down. I played their Nine Ball and Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm glad I know you. Man, it's like night and day. We're not going to go down that road. Oh, we just take please, the praise. Please, take the praise and say thank you.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's a lot of people, you know, here's the problem. I've even succumbed to this as well at times. I'll play a game on location or on a show like that, and I'll judge it just on how it plays when I know I shouldn't, because you only get a real feel of a game and what it really is when it's totally restored and to look and play like new, or at the very least play like new. Everything's nice and crisp.
I would agree. Private collection versus public is two different entities entirely. Here's a game I'm wondering if you own or did own, and I like this game. Stern Split Second.
I don't care for that game. It's the code on it was never completed. It was, I think it was supposed to be a talker. Does it talk? I forget. There's something not complete. I think it does.
There's many play fields and targets and so much stuff going on that I played it a handful of times. I thought it was a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, it's very pretty, but it's not complete. It's like Stern was going out of business very quickly after that. They released a whole bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of weird themes and different ideas they had, and they had a lot of things they threw spaghetti against the refrigerator a bunch of times and stuff. And when it started getting into like 82, 83 for Stern, they really were running out of gas and they were kind of just throwing things out there. They were kind of done. And the coders, the software guys, kind of released it without being totally done with stuff. So I don't really care for the back glass on it. Playfield looks cool. I played it at a show in Texas back in 2003. Texas Pinball Festival. That's actually where I first met Bill Morrison, who was also a classic Stern fan, still is. And it was kind of weird. I walked up to the games. I'd never played them before. It's like, oh, they got a split second here. And who's next to me that wants to play too? It's Bill Morrison. I didn't know at the time. I just knew him from Rec Games Pinball, talking with him and so forth. And I said, well, hey, you want to play? Who are you? I'm Bill Morrison. Oh, I'm Dr. Dave. Oh, wow. So we just met in front of split second and started playing and hanging out, got to see his collection. And, that was a lot of fun. So we kind of met in person over a split second. I still remember that.
Well, I like the game. I don't, I know it's a rare game, but they have one out in Indisc. So hopefully get to play it again.
I'd play it again. I'd play it out in the wild, sure.
Played this with Eric, Big Buck Hunter. I don't know what it's about, but I think it's because the target is moving and it's kind of like a shooting game, except with the flippers and a ball. I'm sure it's kind of like Mick on a Stick, and I don't know if Stern's used that mech for other things, but I liked playing that game. Didn't know what I was doing, but I love shooting the deer.
Yeah, that game, they base it on because the popularity of the Big Buck Hunter video game is so popular. It was so popular that they decided to release a pinball machine with the same thing. I don't know if they made a ton of those. I've never seen one out in the wild. I've never seen one in the show.
I don't think they did. I think it's a rare game, and I think it's a collector game because of that.
Okay. Makes sense.
Close Encounters. Played that. Liked it.
The Gottlieb? You like that game?
Yeah, actually, I did. I had fun playing it.
How?
I don't know. I ended up playing it. I think I did anyway. I don't know. It's on the list. I don't have any notes of whether I did or not. Maybe I hated it. I don't know.
I think you hated it. Most people hate that game. It has nothing to do with that game. It is boring.
Anyway, I played a bunch of EMs. I'm going to list them all, and then we'll move forward. Bali Rocket 3.
Rocket 3. Yes.
It's a fun game. Gottlieb Roller Coaster, which is the one I told you I played as a kid. Duotron, El Toro, another game I played as a kid.
Boring.
Bali Cosmos.
Don't know it.
Sea Ray.
Don't know it.
4 million BC.
Restored one of those. Fun. One of the first three-ball multi-ball games. Very unique game.
Game I put a lot of money in as a kid. I love that game. The first.
Me too. Yep.
The first dinosaur game.
Yeah, and it was right around the same time as Fireball.
Right. Correct.
And kind of a wide body. I think it was wasn't it a wide body game? I'm pretty sure it was, right? Wasn't it? 4 million.
No, I don't think it is.
No, okay. Somebody
get the impression. No, it's a single. It's a regular pin. Okay. And then played two games where companies are out of business. I played Cosmic Carnival, which was, colorful, but that's about it. And the Big Lebowski, which.
Fun game.
Fun,
I like that.
Which was a fun game. So they had a lot. They had some rare stuff. But they had a lot of stuff there. It was a lot of fun. So I wanted to make sure that I got all the games in because, obviously we talk about older games and some newer games. And that leads me to the end, which is you. What's been going on in Dave's life? And tell me a little bit about what you've been doing.
All right. Well, I'll get my theme song here. Hold on a second. This week in pinball, Dr. D.
What is wrong with you?
Can you hear that?
Yes, I heard it. And that's what I was going to say. What the hell do you think you are, Walter Cronkite? I mean, please. For those of you who are younger than anyway.
I always loved that. When I was a kid, I didn't really care for baseball too much, but I love when that music was on and the guy would announce and about different players doing things. Like, I don't know, something special about that. I don't know. It brings back childhood memories. Like that stuff.
So what have you been repairing?
I've been going crazy.
Have you been doing any restoration?
Yes.
Have you been traveling the world?
Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. lots of things cooking. Well, let's see. This past week, at a Joker Poker. Joker Poker's been very popular lately. I've been seeing a lot of Joker Pokers, a lot of Twilight Zones, and then old school, Gottlieb Haunted House and so forth. So all runs the gamut. But Joker Poker had one in Shrewsbury. Good guy out there, Chris. He had I installed a Pascal board, which I do on all my system ones. And it had the Pascal board said coil error, which is great because it stopped the game from locking on coils and burning things up because it halts the game. So I fixed that problem. I had a bad spoon switch. Spoon switch was loose, caused the pop bumper to just lock on all the time. So the game shut it down until I could fix that for him and get that all straightened out. Then we had a T3 Stern 2003 and a Monopoly. This other guy's house, he's in Weston. Worked on that for a day. That was I'm seeing a lot of these now, the early Sterns, like from early new version of Stern, 2003 era with T3 Monopoly, so forth, that they're having a lot of battery corrosion problems because no one told them to change the batteries out. And now it's
darn, Dave. That's really bad for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really bad for me. Phone keeps ringing off the hook. But it's pretty challenging board repair on that game. Sometimes you can't really find that board anymore, the NPU board for that. Their Stern just started to remake them. A backwards compatible board has surface mount stuff versus that stuff had more through hole, they call it, where you actually can take the chips out and socket them. The surface mounts.
Didn't we talk about this before? Where the Monopoly games are, you really have to make sure that the MPU is okay before you buy one, because a lot of them are roached and you can't get one.
Probably. And if you can find a board, usually you're going to pay $400, $500 for the pleasure of that. So I actually just painstakingly, and I try the new methodology of getting rid of this alkaline corrosion. You use toilet bowl cleaner. The old way of doing it was using vinegar, 50-50 mix, which didn't really, it wasn't enough of a difference of acid versus base to neutralize, you know, didn't do that real job. But the toilet bowl cleaner works phenomenal. You know, throw some of it on there, wait a couple minutes, fizzes up, take it off, clean it up, and you get nice copper traces or whatever's left. Sometimes there's no copper traces left. So, yeah, it just takes it right down to nothing.
That doesn't sound very good.
No. Well, it's kind of, it removes the stuff that is compromised and leaves the good stuff. Let's put it that way, which is, you know, it's selective. So doing that, and then I pretty much had where the traces go, and I had to do a lot of jumps and jumper things and get a new PAL chip for, which you had to get a special
program. Sounds like Frankenboard.
Frankenboard. I got a bunch of different chips and stuff and put it all in there. And I think I had it all. I don't have a test picture for it. It's like, okay, well, I'm just going to do it looks good to me. I ohm things out, point to point. And I brought it on site, threw it in the game, and no problem. So turn it on. The T3 just kept, the lights just kept, the feature lights kept going on, off, on, off, on, off. It's like, it looks like it's booting. So I called up Stern. I like calling up Stern, Chaz there, and just run things by him, you know, since he sees a lot of this stuff. And he said, well, if your game's not booting, there's something wrong. You might need a new board. It has a sense of acid, you know, he said alkaline corrosion. You might need a new board. You can send it to us. And it's like, I don't know. It's something simple. It's something simple, you know. So I brought the board out. And good thing this customer had a Monopoly game next to it. It's the same generation. I looked at the Monopoly MPU and looked at the one I just repaired, compared the area of corrosion. It's like, I missed that little connection to one of the legs of the chip. It didn't look like there was anything supposed to be there on mine, on the T3, but on the Monopoly, it's right there. So I ohmed it, nothing on mine, something on the Monopoly. I run one little jump wire there, boom, got it. Thing booted up. I was so happy.
I know you like the physical, but maybe you should take pictures of that board so that encounter them again.
Oh, believe me, I'm way ahead of you. When I did that, I was like, you know what? This Monopoly board, I am taking all kinds of close-up pictures of that corrosion zone all around there so I know next time what a good one looks like. And so I can compare it to one that's compromised.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
So what's next? What's on the restoration block? You usually have something in the basement that you're doing.
I am trying like heck to finish up this Twilight Zone that I've had for...
Oh, no, come on. That's still there?
It's still here. It's been here since March. The customer, you know, said, oh, you've been in a couple months with that back in March. And I go, I'm going to try, but I don't think so. But I'll try 6 months later, 8 months later. And then other things came up and, you know, trying to also do service calls and fit everything in and fit in a life as well, you know. So I've been concentrating getting it done. And Twilight Zone is the most complicated pinball machine ever made. And then I also worked another complicated, one of the most complicated ever made from Gottlieb, which is, you know, Haunted House. It's like three pinball machines in one. That was like a 3-day spa on that we did. That needed a lot of work. We got that going nice for them, for that customer, about a week or so ago. But Twilight Zone, I'm getting really good at rebuilding the clock. There's a clock in the game. There's a gumball machine. There's a little play field that works on magnets on the game. So there's tons of toys going on with that game. And I've rebuilt now several clocks, and I'm getting really good at it. In fact, the one I just rebuilt for a customer in Cambridge at Clover Food Lab, they got a Medieval Madness and they got a Twilight Zone there. And they keep them on all the time. People playing them all the time. So they get beat on pretty well. That clock was broken. Someone in the past put a clockboard in there from a different manufacturer, I think Rotten Dog. And, decent board, but still had an old technology in it of the original Optos, which you really can't find anymore. They're not quite as good as a new version of doing things that this guy Ingo out in Germany had that people love. So I got one of those boards. I've actually got a couple of them. And put that in the game. It has blue LEDs in it. And I took apart all the gears and lubed them up and cleaned everything. And then you have to time the gears, like timing a transmission on a car or timing the timing in a car. It timed that so it lines up to 12 o'clock just right. So all these little things about this clock to get it right. And then when it finally goes in the game and it doesn't boot up with a boom, 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 technician alert, look at this, clock is broken. It's so gratifying when you get that to come up and it doesn't say clock broken. It comes up with free play with no credit dot. And the thing, when it first boots up, it goes back and forth and it lands right at 12 o'clock like it's supposed to. Very gratifying in Twilight Zone when you get that done. So that was a milestone, getting that thing right. And the gumball machine, taking that apart, getting that thing right. And I've been going crazy with LEDs on the game too, putting blue LEDs underneath the ramps and some red LEDs, LED strips, and I'm going to put mirror blades on the thing. I'm blinging this Twilight Zone out. I'm going bling, color LED. So it's going to be a lot of eye candy, and I can't wait to take pictures and my website and so forth. And I think the customer is going to be happy with the end result. It'll be worth the wait once I'm done.
It's a really nice looking game when it's done upright.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, I have one myself. I bought one recently, I think last year. I was originally going to fix it up kind of quick and sell it, but after doing this one, it's like, I think I need to keep this game. I think I need to make one for me, make a real nice one for me and have it for a while. Cause, very unique game. Didn't get a lot of love in the arcade back then. People didn't understand it, but it got lots of love now in the collector community. The collectors love the game.
Well, the price point now, I saw one out on Pinside, a really nice one. Big money. I mean, as much, if not more, than a brand new game.
I've seen them like $10K for a nice Twilight Zone.
I think this one was in that area. So, yeah, it's a far cry from when I got into the hobby, but we've talked about that before. You could have picked that game up for $2,000 back in the day, and now look at it. But it seems to be like everything else. I want to put a wrap to this, unless you've got another story to tell. And
I got one more story. So I also work at this corporation in their break room. They have 7 newish pinball machines in their break room for their, employees to play, And they have a Medieval Madness remake, a Deadpool, Ghostbusters, Family Guy, Game of Thrones, Kiss, and a Hobbit. So they play the crap out of these things. They don't put money in them. They're all free play. A couple of guys are really good. They get lots of practice, especially they stay late. They stay like till 7, 8 o'clock at night playing, and then they have a tournament once a year. So they typically call me every couple months and to kind of go through the games and shop them out and make them like new again because, they get dirty and they beat on it pretty well. I'm rebuilding a lot of flippers all the time, and I use Titan rubbers all around to kind of get the most life out of things. And even the Titans are crying for mercy, so I replace some of those. I'm really liking clear rubbers lately to use around some of these LED games because the LEDs go right through the clear and they really make the game shine and more light. More light's always good in these games and see what's going on. They had me come out there for a pre-tournament fix-up situation, so I went out there and worked for several nights on that whole lineup and got them all sparkly. In fact, the Deadpool came out so nice, and it was so pretty when I was done with it, with clear rubber everywhere. It's like, I need to get a couple nice shots of this game. So I took some really nice artsy shots at an angle and got angles just right. And I put that on a Google post on my website, the Google part of the website I have, you know, when you search me on Google. And I put the like a post from me on there. That thing got, and usually I do a post on there for a picture. I might get, you know, oh, your picture got 7 hits. Your picture got 10 hits and whoopee, you know. This one, the first day, 25 hits. Second day, 200 hits. By day 4, it said you got 1,000 hits looking at this photo. So people like the bling. People like the eye candy on that one.
Wasn't talking to you. I was talking to them.
Why don't you send me a copy of that picture so I can put it to this episode and people can see your artwork. But the only people who can see it are the people who subscribe to either Spotify or Anchor. So all you people who listen to us from other podcasters, you can't see any of the art. Every one of our programs has a piece of artwork to it. And most people don't see it. They see the old school targets, but we're too cheap. We have not put together a logo yet. We'll get to it eventually.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
Yeah, it's a good point you bring up. I didn't quite realize that, but yeah, you know, we take the time, and especially you take the time as well, a lot of time to find the right photo to use for the thumbnail for our particular episode. So, yeah, it's nice to see that on there. I don't know what you're getting into when you click on it. You know, as a little lead in. All right, everyone, thank you for listening yet again. And I wish every one of you a great day. Be blessed and be grateful.
Goodbye, everybody.
Shields and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.